Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the last night of the NFL preseason and the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the perturbed Evan Witalison. How do you like that one tonight, buddy? How are things out in the great state of Wisconsin?
Things are going well. Another great day in Wisconsin. Enjoying the fall-like weather. I feel like getting a pumpkin latte at Starbucks or whatever and sitting down and enjoying fall. That's what it feels like here right now. But anyways, lots to discuss tonight, lots to talk about. Packer final preseason game going on right now. You know, Troy, I'm glad I'm not Ted Thompson because he's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make when you look at the final pieces of this 53-man roster. He's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make. And I'm glad I'm not him. And I'm glad I'm not the guy that has to make that decision. Not make the decision, but have to tell the players when they get cut that, sorry, gave it your best shot, but, you know, we can only keep 53 guys. I'm glad I'm not that guy either, because that would be a tough job to have, basically crushing a guy's dreams. But we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Also, I got a bit of a rant to go on. I'm kind of a little not too happy with the CBS football broadcaster, play-by-play guy today. And I'm going to talk about why in a minute. Badgers opened up Saturday against LSU. And the question is, do the Badgers even stand a chance? Or is it going to be an LSU route regardless? But I do want to share this. College football games going on right now as we speak. You know, Louisville had a bit of a scare tonight, beating Charlotte 70-14. And the other game I want to point out, lots of games going on tonight. We have Minnesota beating Oregon State. But, Troy, Appalachian State. I don't know if you remember Appalachian State, but I think it was, I would say 9 years ago, 2007. Yeah, it was 2007 because it was the weekend of my brother and sister-in-law's wedding. The same Appalachian State team that shocked the world by upsetting the Michigan Wolverines, they are in overtime against the ninth-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. So not a good way to – and it's at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville as well. Not a good way for Tennessee to start their year. A lot of high expectations in Tennessee going into the college football season, and Appalachian State could derail it before the season even gets started for them. So, but before I go any further, I'm going to throw it over to you, Troy. How are you doing today? How are things out in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, this is a fast day, and I say a fast day because I was really bombarded at work. My job as a staffing director is to make sure our schools are fully staffed. So, you know what, I'll throw this out there. If there's anybody in PA listening and you know of anybody that is a PA special ed certified teacher somewhere, get in touch with me because I have four schools, Evan, that need teachers by Tuesday. So my day was really fast because it was really busy. And when you are engulfed in work, you look at the clock and go, where in the heck did the day go? It was just one of those days where I was just so focused on work and doing a lot of work, and the next thing I know it was 4 o'clock at a conference call, and that call took till 5:30, and I rolled on home, and it's like, where did the day go? So I didn't get to do as much research for tonight's show. I always like to spend a little bit of time, you know, just relaxing and reading about stuff we're going to talk about on the show. I did a little bit, but, you know, you and I talked about it before the show. It was one of those days you and I both had it. You know, the day kind of got to us, makes us a little bit droopy and tired, but we're always up and excited for the show. So we'll get right into it. And I think we might as well just get right to the reason I said you're perturbed tonight. Let's talk about this and, you know, where you want to rant about, because I think you warrant a rant on this one.
Yeah, so Boomer Esiason, the Boomer Esiason, he was talking, and I'm going to give him a direct quote because I don't want to misquote him. He's talking about Colin Kaepernick. So here's pretty much what he had to say. Quote, "I cannot say it in the strongest, most direct way. That's an embarrassment, and it's about as disrespectful as any athlete has ever been." Esiason said at a CBS event Tuesday in New York. He also had to say, "And I don't care what the cause is. The NFL football field is not a place for somebody to further their political ambitions. Can you imagine if a player went on the field with Make America Great Again hat and let's vote for Donald Trump?" It's the same thing. So Mr. Esiason said that it's an embarrassment and about as disrespectful as any athlete has ever been. Him not standing, him sitting quietly during the playing of the national anthem, and that is the most embarrassing and disrespectful thing he has ever seen. Look, you don't have to agree with what Colin Kaepernick did. You don't have to. I don't necessarily agree with it per se, but he has every right to do it if he wants to. This is America. He has every right to do it. Just like the people that are criticizing him do have the right to criticize him. But for Boomer Esiason to call it the most disrespectful thing any athlete has ever done and a complete embarrassment, I'm sorry, but Boomer, is this more embarrassing and disrespectful than Aaron Hernandez, Ray Caruth, Greg Hardy, Leonard Little? And the list can go on and on. That idiot kicker in New York, Ray Rice. I can go on and on. There's been a lot of players that have embarrassed the league and have been way more disrespectful than Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem. I'm sorry. I just find it very distasteful what he said, because he's not going to stand for the anthem. It's an embarrassment and disrespectful. I'm sorry, Boomer. But as I put it in our Red Light Sports Network Facebook page, I wanted that Facebook Live today and share this. I'm going to share it here, too. Boomer Esiason, you are, my friend, the moron of the week. So throw it back to you, Troy. I want to get your thoughts on that with Boomer Esiason calling this the embarrassing and the most disrespectful thing an athlete has ever done.
Well, the first problem here is Boomer opened his mouth. I am not. He always seems to have this idea that I don't even know how to put it into words. There's something about him as an announcer that, yeah, I'm not going to say I dislike the guy. I do not prefer to listen to him announce the football game. I prefer not to listen to him do any radio shows. There's something about him, and people may say I'm arrogant too. It's just something about Boomer Esiason that it's almost like he has a stubbornness in his brain. Like, I may have my opinion, but I certainly listen to yours. We don't agree all the time, and we even say it on the show. You may agree or disagree with us, but it makes for a great debate. Now, you read off a list, Evan, and I agree with you. And here's the funny thing about this whole Colin Kaepernick thing. That wasn't the first time he sat for the national anthem. And Colin Kaepernick, Evan, did not blurt to the media or run to any social media sites or go to reporters and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to sit down for the national anthem today because I'm waiting for things to change. Had nobody said anything, Evan, he would have continued to sit for the national anthem. Now, granted, we all know that he was waiting for the forum for somebody to ask, and that's what opened the can of worms. But remember, that's not the first time he sat. And where I have a problem with this whole thing is that you look at what he did, and you wrote, you had listed a number of people that caused physical harm to other people. Colin Kaepernick did not hurt a butterfly. He sat on the sideline, Evan, and he just sat there quietly. He did not do anything. He wasn't jumping up and down. He wasn't being disrespectful during the anthem. You know, he very well could have turned his back to the flag. He's just sitting on the bench. He could have turned his back to the flag. He could have been doing other things during the national anthem. He sat down. And again, whether or not you agree or disagree with it, the whole point of what Evan is saying is, Boomer aside, saying this is the most disrespectful thing an athlete has done. No. Don't agree. I'm on your side there, Evan. You deserve that rant. I agree with you 100%. Just thought I'd throw my 2 cents worth in.
Yeah, and, you know, I normally don't get heated like that, but Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, who I like Max Kellerman. I think he's doing a great job on First Take. But anyways, you know, they were talking about it today, and I was just astonished by it. I'm like, why is he the most disrespectful? Why is he the most disrespectful athlete? You know, why is that the most disrespectful thing you ever seen an athlete do? It's just baffling to me. And here's the thing. You don't have to agree with what Kaepernick did and how Kaepernick did it. You don't have to, okay? Don't have to. But regardless, you know, it's not like he killed someone. It's not like he beat the crap out of a significant other at the time. He just didn't stand for the national anthem. So, you know, enough about this. It's been talked about for the last week nonstop. Talked about again today. It's going to be talked about again tomorrow because, you know, players have joined Kaepernick in his protest, Seahawks player, and then another 49er have joined Kaepernick. So, you know, there's going to be a lot more talking about it tomorrow. And the thing that's irritating about it to me is that people aren't even paying attention to his why anymore. People are more talking about, will he be punished? Should he be punished? 49ers going to cut him. Other 49ers going to trade him. Should, you know, and that's all they're talking about. They're not actually talking about the reason behind why he did it in the first place. So, you know, with that, got to switch it over. Packers played their last preseason game today. You know, Troy, it's going to be a very tough decision for the Packers. And I wish I knew what Ted Thompson was going to do. You know, you have potential, and, you know, and you hate to see anybody get hurt. But, you know, maybe Trevor Davis' shoulder injury made things a little bit easier for Thompson. But with Davis, there are eight wide receivers that could probably legitimately argue for a roster spot. And I throw in Geronimo Allison as well. They're obviously not keeping eight wide receivers. I don't even know if they keep seven. But with Davis hurting his shoulder today, maybe it opens the door so they don't have to keep seven. But that's the thing. Do the Packers keep seven wide receivers, Troy, and if Davis is healthy? And if they keep seven wide receivers, where do they slim down at? Do they only keep two running backs and a fullback on the roster? You know, start Slacy and Burkowski as the only running backs on the roster? Do they not have a fullback on the roster? Do they keep an extra tight end and have a tight end still in at fullback? Like what do the Packers even do? And I'm glad I don't make that decision. And Gutner has not had a good camp. And Josh Hawkins, rookie out of East Carolina, has had a good camp, and he had a pretty good game tonight. So do you keep Gutner, who was the one of the top players from last summer, or do you keep Hawkins? And then, you know, did I forget his name now, but you know, he was a linebacker. They I should say a defensive end they drafted out of Arizona State, who couldn't cut it at defensive end, and he moved him to middle linebacker, Carl Bradford, doing enough to make the team at middle linebacker. So Packers have a lot of tough decisions to make, and I'm glad I'm not the one that has to make it. But Abadaris, I don't see any way he does not make the roster. But at the same time, as I said, Troy, if Davis is healthy, you can keep seven wide receivers. That's what I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do they keep seven if Davis is healthy? Or you got to think, just by looking at the roster, it sucks to say it, but Abadaris is probably the odd man out on this roster because they're not getting rid of Janice. They're not getting rid of Adams. They're not getting rid of Montgomery. Cobb and Nelson are obviously safe. They just drafted Davis. Like, who becomes the odd man out? And all signs point towards Abadaris. So it's definitely a tough situation.
No, very tough situation, but I don't think they keep seven. I don't think you can, as much as this is a passing league and as, you know, the number of injuries the Packers had at wide receiver last year, and I'm not, you know, we all know about Jordy Nelson, but you look through the course of the year and the little tweaks and things that happen, I just can't see them keeping seven receivers. That would be unprecedented.
Then who do you get rid of?
Well, I said this when it happened before, and I know Janice is, you know, you look at Janice on with an injury. I said this before. I think you just put him on IR. And
he's healthy, though.
I would figure out a way to try and keep some of these guys. And Abadaris could be on his way out. They're not getting rid of Trevor Davis. I wouldn't imagine that they're going to cut him, but you never know. I mean, they're so deep at receiver that I don't see them going with seven. I just – you got other areas of depth that you have to address. You know, you mentioned keeping another tight end that can play in that fullback. We talked about this earlier in the year, Evan. Is there really a need for a fullback for blocking? You can groom a tight end to do enough blocking in the backfield because he's not going to carry the ball. Teams will pretty much know why he's back there, but who cares? But I think there's other areas where you need to keep players for depth, one being defensive line. You know, so there might be a guy that's not performing to where he needs to be right now. But you got to take a look at the overall roster, and just because you have talent stockpiled in one area, it sucks. But you can't – I don't think you can go to seven without hurting your team somewhere else. And what do you do with seven players, seven wide receivers? You know, at most, you know, you're going to, you know, typically be three wide receivers. You may go to a four wide receiver set. That's three other wide receivers that you have on this roster. You make them inactive. I know Janice is a special teams guy. He's a great special teams guy. And that's one of the reasons why I think that he will find a spot on the roster, because he can keep his job, Evan, by playing great. It's really tough what they're going to do at wide receiver. And here's the funny thing. Everybody talks about, you know, Ted Thompson doing some trades. Only if a team is desperate enough for one of those guys is a trade going to happen. But I think teams are just going to sit back and wait for them to get cut, because whoever gets cut is getting picked up. There's no way that somebody's going to be hanging out on the waiver wire from that wide receiver core and at least not get picked up by somebody else on a practice squad or even onto the roster. And that's how good this wide receiving core is, Evan. You know, you're not talking about a bunch of guys like, oh, we're going to let them play just so they can audition because we're going to cut them. I think that these guys are playing tonight really for Ted Thompson to figure out, what am I going to do? So it's a tough decision. It really is. I don't know where you trim the roster anywhere else to keep seven, and then I think you have a log jam if you keep seven. They're going to keep six. I would not foresee them only keeping. If they went to seven, Evan, I would have to say that's pretty ballsy, and I don't know where they would make trimming across the roster. And then what do you do with seven receivers? Do you make two of them primarily special teams guys, or what? What are your thoughts there if they keep seven?
Well, Janice is only a special teams guy. Janis is not going to be anything else but a special teams guy. He's not a wide receiver. And even with the hand injury, he's definitely not going to probably be a wide receiver immediately. But he already, you know, has the cast off. He was practicing the other day with the protective, a protective something on it or another. You know, Janis is not going to be a wide receiver. The only thing I could really see the Packers doing, if you look at Ty Montgomery, you know, Ty Montgomery, if I can find his number, 6'2", 216. He's built like a running back. The only thing I could really see the Packers doing is keeping, you know, Starks and Lacy and Ripkowski and Ty Montgomery basically serving as that number three de facto running back. Being that kind of Randall Cobb role from a couple years ago. And you got Randall Cobb that can play in the backfield as well. And you can maybe also have Janis come out the back, not running the ball wise for Cobb and Janis. But Montgomery's big enough to handle running the football out of the backfield if they decide to do that. So what they're I envision them doing, this is what I envision them doing, is, you know, they already got rid of Crockett. They IR'd Crockett for a shoulder injury. John Crockett is probably going to be an injury settlement coming out of that. So here's what they're probably going to do. Here's what I think they're going to do. Carry Starks and Lacy on the active roster only, and then probably Brandon Burks or maybe another running back, but likely Brandon Burks. They're going to take him and attempt to stash him on the practice squad. Now, if there's an injury to Starks or Lacy that they're going to miss some time, then they're going to cross that bridge when they get there by activating him off the practice squad and thinning out the herd somewhere else. I just don't know how, you know, the Packers get rid of Abadaris. And, again, this is assuming Davis's injury isn't severe, but we don't know how bad Trevor Davis's injury is. This is assuming his injury is not severe that I'm making this suggestion. But that's what I think they're going to do. They're going to carry just two halfbacks. I'm going to stress halfbacks. I think Rutkowski's safe. They're going to carry two halfbacks on the active roster and carry that extra wide receiver. So they got seven. That's my thought. So maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just can't see them letting – a talent like Abadaris go. I don't see him letting Janis go at all. He's too much of a special teams ace. And I think Adams and Montgomery are safe. So it's got to be that running back, that halfback position that's going to be a little bit on the thin side this season. And the Packers got to remember, Corey Lindsey likely starting the year on the pup list. So now because may have to be the backup center, they're going to have to keep an extra interior lineman, too. So, but either way, I'm glad I'm not Ted Thompson and try to make this work moving forward. That's the one thing I'm glad. So before we very briefly touch base on Wisconsin-LSU, do you have anything to add about that yet?
No, I don't have anything to add about that. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's going to be a tough decision. I'm thinking, too, after, you know, I didn't get to watch the game on TV. I was watching it via the Internet. Looks like Mr. Callahan has maybe solidified his spot as the number three guy, Evan. He got a lot.
He's three quarterbacks on the roster, to be honest.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Do you really think I'll put it this way. He'll be that, hopefully, that practice squad guy. If you cut Callahan, do you think anybody's going to pick him up? Maybe. The Vikings could. They always pick the Packers. But, he got an extended look today. And, you know, you had mentioned that you liked that kid. And I think, you know, if you look at what they want to do, they're probably going to try to stash some guy on the practice squad, especially as we talked about with Hundley having that ankle injury and not, you know, his certainty is he's going to keep getting tweaked. I mean, then, you know, where do you go there? So somewhere along the line, one of these guys hopefully will be back on the practice squad. But you look at what they did with Callahan. I think they wanted to get a good long look at him tonight and see if he was a guy that he would be worth keeping around somewhere And I think he's done enough. Where whether or not they keep him on the roster or cut him and try to bring him back on the practice squad, I'm not sure if he's done enough, Evan, to turn heads across the league where somebody's going to scoop him up. But if somebody needs a practice squad guy, you know, he may have done enough on tape for a team to take a look. But, you know, that was my take from being able to watch the game. But I know quickly you want to go LSU-Wisconsin with a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go LSU-Wisconsin, and there's another comment I want to make, too. You know, LSU-Wisconsin, I'm just going to put it bluntly. I don't see how Wisconsin, you know, I see a hard time seeing them put points on the board, let alone stay competitive in this game. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think LSU is just going to LSU is a better team across the board talent-wise. Badgers are breaking in a brand-new quarterback against an experienced secondary of LSU, and I just don't see how Wisconsin stays in the game. I hope they can keep it within 20, but I have a hard time seeing that happening. And, you know, with all the negativity in the world, this is where I want to shift, with all the negativity in the world. And I want to give a big shout-out to Florida State wide receiver Travis Rudolph. So Travis Rudolph was at a middle school earlier this week, and Tuesday afternoon, he spotted a student that was sitting by himself, eating lunch all by himself. So he decided to enjoy a couple of slices of pizza, enjoying the boy. So he didn't know why the boy is sitting alone. He just decided to sit by the boy. And it turned out that the boy is autistic, and he sits by himself for lunch every day. That's just what the kid does. He sits by himself. Nobody will sit with him. Now, you know, here's the mom of the boy. Here's what she said on Facebook after this young man's gesture. Now that I have a child starting middle school, I have feelings of anxiety for him. They can be overwhelming if I let them. Sometimes I'm grateful for his autism. That may sound like a terrible thing to say, but in some ways I hope it shields him. He doesn't seem to notice when people stare at him. When he flaps his hands, he doesn't seem to notice what he doesn't get invited to, when he doesn't get invited to birthday parties anymore. And he doesn't seem to mind if he eats lunch alone. It's one of my daily questions for him. Was there a time today you felt sad? Who did you eat lunch with today? Sometimes the answer is a classmate, but most days it's nobody. Those are the days I feel sad for him, but he doesn't seem to mind. A friend of mine sent this beautiful picture to me today, and when I saw it with the caption, "Travis is eating lunch with your son," I replied, "Who is that?" He said, "FSU football player." Then I had tears streaming down my face. Travis Rudolph, a wide receiver at Florida State, and several other FSU players visited my son's school today. I'm not sure what exactly made this incredible kind man share lunch day with my son, but I'm happy to say that it will not soon be forgotten. This is one day I didn't have to worry if my sweet boy ate lunch alone, because he sat across from someone who is a hero in many eyes. Travis Rudolph, thank you so much. You made this mama exceedingly happy and have made us fans for life. So I just wanted to share that. You know, all the negativity, going on in the world, and he just does this nice gesture. And you know, he was talking to a reporter, Kenny Morales, and when he was told about the mother's post, nearly brought tears to his eyes. So I'm going to throw it back to you to give you some final thoughts, Badgers, LSU, and then wrap the show up and let our listeners go.
Yeah, that's a great story. I mean, we always talk about the negativity in the world, and there, you know what, Evan? The old adage is it takes only one bad apple to ruin the bunch, and that's kind of what happens in sports. You see the negativity, but that's because that's what the media wants to report. You know, where's the media reporting Mr. Rudolph sitting down eating lunch with this kid? It wasn't the media. It was someone else posting it on Facebook. So, you know, part of it is media attention. Maybe they should look for some good, because there's a lot of good out there. You know, we talk about the negativity, but how many athletes, Evan, start charities? How many athletes do visit schools? How many athletes give much of their resources to do good things in life. There's more good than bad out there in the NFL. It's just when there's bad, that's all everyone wants to focus on. And even in college athletics, you know, this guy did not have to do what he did. He's just a good person. Just a very good person. That's a great story to share. Quickly, I know we're in archive time now, but on the Badgers, Evan, the one thing, like you said, I had mentioned the other night, I think they lose by double digits. It may be competitive maybe for the first two drives. LSU is just a much better team on paper and just overall right now as a program. The one thing I'm going to say, though, to Badger fans, is that when you take a look at this roster offensively, the one thing I'm real impressed with, Evan, and you got to take the good with the bad with this, they've had to rebuild this offensive line. We've always had great offensive lines in Wisconsin. But this is a line, Evan, I think that this year can maybe start to build something. And I know nobody wants to talk about the future because it's about winning now. But I've got the depth chart up right now. And left tackle, you have a junior transfer. So he's the oldest guy. He's, like, considered the wily veteran. You got left guard as a redshirt sophomore. Center's a redshirt sophomore. Right guard, redshirt sophomore. Right tackle, redshirt sophomore. Maybe I'm the only one getting excited about a young offensive line, but this team is not that good this year, Evan. So to get a group that can stay together, can build and play and continue along, barring injury, knock on wood, I like the idea of what's going on here because in college football, if you have a dominant offensive line, Evan, you and I both know you can win a lot of football games. I love the prospects of a young offensive line. And then all the backups, redshirt sophomores and a freshman. I love it. I'm so excited to watch this group develop because you think of all the good years and all the good running backs that we've had, you got to give credit to the big boys in front of them. And that's what I'm excited about with this team is watching that line grow and mature together. So, again, I know we're in archive time, but I want to get your quick thoughts on that because that's where my excitement is with this team this year, Evan. It's not about the potential of going to the Rose Bowl. I mean, that's long gone. So I'm looking for something to focus on with Badger football that I really want to watch and see develop, and I think it's that offensive line. What are your quick thoughts?
Well, it's just going to be the young team in general. Badgers are, you know, a young team this for a while, but he's a, you know, first time being the starting quarterback. And the offensive line, well, you know, Gary Anderson really screwed the pooch on that one. He really screwed the pooch on the O-line. That's why the O-line's so young, because Anderson basically mishandled recruiting the offensive line. He stopped recruiting in state, and he had a couple classes where the offensive line, he didn't really recruit. You know, you look at, you know, it's been, what, 2 years since Gary Anderson left the program, and, you know, Anderson's been 2 years at Wisconsin, and I don't think he brought in very many offensive linemen. If he did, they weren't really offensive linemen that fit what Wisconsin football is all about, the traditional Wisconsin football. So it's going to take some time for Paul Chryst to rebuild that position. It's going to take some time, and that's why I hope Badger fans have patience because it will take time. So that's all I got.
Awesome. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Have a great night, everyone.